Hello and welcome to another edition of the Coffee Cast with Cation and Ruben, powered by Behind the Racket. Mike Cation joining you as I'm recording this. It is late on a Sunday night. Unfortunately, because of traffic tonight, I wasn't able to connect with Noah Ruben. We weren't able to do a full introduction and also kind of close the podcast at the end of this. But the reason we wanted to make sure we had it for you guys available first thing on Monday morning, if it is the first thing that you listen to on a Monday, is because this week's podcast, the guest is Tommy Paul. We recorded an interview with him, Noah and myself, on Saturday morning before his semifinal win over Emilio Gomez, and obviously also before his final round win over Tanasi Kokkinakis, which clinched for him his third challenger title of the year at the First Republic Tiburon Challenger. You're going to hear two parts to the interviews here today on the podcast. Number one is the interview that Noah and I did with him on Saturday. Part two is going to be a short interview that I did with him after the match on Sunday. So hopefully you enjoy both of those parts and really appreciate all of the continuing discussion here on the Coffee Cast with Cation and Ruben, powered by Behind the Racket. And don't forget, you can check out all of the latest styles thanks to our biggest sponsor, New Balance. Visit them at newbalance.com for all the looks on and off the court. All right, so this is a fun one for us, joined by Mr. Tommy Paul. And Tommy, you are looking fantastic this morning.
Thank
I mean,
you,
not as good
you.
As Noah, obviously, but this is quite a look you've got going on here today.
No, it's definitely aggressive for 10 a.m.
Yeah.
But I know Noah was going to look good, but a little bit different kind of vibe that we're going for this morning, but it's okay.
Well, it's not quite morning for me, and I'm going into the city today, so you have to fit in with the New York crowd.
Yeah, no, you can't even see. I'm wearing, like, yellow sweatpants, white shoes and red hat. Like, I'm just all over the place this morning.
Wouldn't expect anything less.
Well, Noah, Tommy, I'm gonna start this for Tommy. I should also say we're recording this Saturday morning before the semifinals, so anything that does possibly happen this week, we will not obviously have the opportunity to talk about. Uh-huh. If Tommy punches somebody in the face, we won't have the opportunity. If he wins a title, we can't talk about that. Uh-huh. So just want to make sure we start this. But we're going to start in the dark place before we get to some of the good places.
Okay.
You guys obviously both reached a Challenger final in Charlottesville, 2015.
Oh, man.
No, I know. Just trust me. I'm going to go to a good place here. Uh-huh. With it. It took you 3 years. You lost that final, Tommy, to Noah from two breaks up in the third set.
Yeah.
It took you 3 years to get back into the winner's circle of a challenger for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine there's some pretty dark places you went having watched you in 2016. How did you get confidence back? How did you become the Tommy Paul that we know and love now today?
Well, wow. I think Charlottesville that year, it wasn't as much like losing the match to Noah that like made me like upset or whatever. It was more like I know that Noah won that match and then didn't win another match for like Knoxville and Champaign and got the wild card into Australia. So that was like, I just knew like one point I would have had the wild card.
Yeah,
I mean I'm at least happy when Noah did get the wild card. He went to Australia and he won his first round, which was like it made me feel a lot better. But still, yeah, I mean 2016 was definitely not my best year. I had times in 2017 and 2016 where I just like didn't want to play, didn't want to. Every time I stepped on practice court, I hated it. Just kind of tennis was like kind of depressing me.
Yeah.
And then I don't know. It's just, I mean, I kind of changed the way I thought about it when I was going to practice. I also got like a little bit more professional and less professional at the same time, just more professional in kind of the right ways, I guess.
What does that mean?
More professional as in like doing more stuff to help me off the court. And help me that will end up helping me on the court, but at the same time when I'm on court taking it just a little bit less serious, which is kind of weird because like it looks like I'm taking it more serious, but like I just kind of take it like, all right, like play every point, but it's tennis, you know. Mm-hmm. Like it's literally just a game,
you know. We've been watching you and obviously you're confident right now, but I mean people are asking me and I really don't have the answer. They're like, how in the world is Tommy just going out there and trusting every shot? I mean, you look, I mean, obviously you're quick, you're getting around, but I mean, you're just hitting the crap out of every ball. You're putting it wherever you want to. I mean, where did this new style, I mean, I don't think you were playing, I might even say carefree, but this confidently, I don't remember it forever. And now you're just getting out there, you're taking time away, you're just, you know, you're just moving about. So where did this all come from?
I mean, I think that kind of goes into what I was saying before. It's like taking it as like, oh, it's just a game. Like on the big points before, like, I don't know, last year or the year before. Well, one is like knowing what points in the matches are big. And then two is kind of just on the big points, instead of like decelerating, which is like a big thing that I used to do on big points, I would decelerate and like kind of get tight or whatever. It's kind of just like, all right, big point. Like if I'm ripping or coming into the net, like the guy's going to feel way more pressure. So like, I just like hit big on big points, serve, make first serves on big points and hit big.
But here's the thing though, Tommy, and I mean this in the nice way, and you're also, we just got you some avocado toast with egg that looks fantastic, and I want to make sure you eat that because you do have a semifinal coming up, so feel free to have a bite or two every once in a while here, but that's fine. But you are somebody with a ton of personality off the court. We all certainly know that. How do you incorporate personality on court so you do make sure that you're enjoying what you're doing when this is such a tough road back for you?
That's a good question. I mean, definitely my personality helps me and hurts me on court both ways for sure. I think in practice it's kind of just making sure that I'm having fun on the practice court. When I'm not having fun on the practice court, I'm not having fun overall, and then I go to the tournament and I'm not happy. So it's really just keeping me happy. I mean, I talked to Brad Stein about it, who I'm obviously just currently starting to work with, and he was like, when you're happy on the practice court, like, I'm happy because like I know that you're having fun, and when you're having fun you play well. Everyone plays better when they're having fun. So I mean, I don't really know, like, when it comes to in the match, just kind of staying loose and playing. I don't know. I like having fun with the shots that you don't normally see. Like, I try and do like stupid stuff, but I mean, I think that kind of stuff like helps me and hurts me in a lot of different ways. It's just, I gotta find the happy medium.
And you know, I've been on the court with Brad Stein before. The guy's a great guy. He knows his shit. But I'm curious, I mean, you kind of went into it, but I'm curious, did he say anything to you specifically that really resonated with you, that said, wow, I mean, that makes sense? Like, talking about having fun, and he, you know, was a big proponent of that. Did he say anything to you that was like, wow, I can't believe I never thought about this before. Why am I not having fun or as much fun as I am? Anything specific?
No. No, I mean, me and Brad, literally, we've done 2 weeks together. This is our second week. We did Cary. I mean, in New Haven, I think, is when we officially, like, we're like, all right, we're going to start working together. But he wasn't there. We were just, like, talking over the phone or whatever. And New Haven was pretty much on my own. The summer tournaments, obviously, you remember I was with Henrik, and he was traveling with me. So it was kind of like, I don't want to say coachless because Henrik's going to get mad, but it was pretty much coachless. And, yeah, I mean, not really anything different that I haven't heard. I think he just has a real relaxed coaching style, which is kind of it's kind of easy for me.
All right, so let's talk about what happened last night, Friday night, for people who might not have seen it if they didn't catch it last week. After the match, it was a very odd one because in the third set, you're playing Gonzalo Escobar, a player who's in the 300s, one that you're quote-unquote supposed to beat. In the third set, you look like you're done. You just want to, like, check out. So then you start asking the crowd to get engaged.
Yeah.
They're starting to scream for you. You actually have to be told by the chair umpire to calm down a little bit in terms of engaging with the crowd. And then you beat Escobar. You have some words with him at the net. And then you go drink a beer out of a pitcher. Yeah. Somebody's beer out of a pitcher.
Yeah.
What the hell was going on in that match?
The match was a roller coaster. I could definitely see why he was getting upset, because after the second set, he literally did not miss a ball.
Yeah.
And I was like, I mean, he's a good player.
Yes.
But I thought he was going to miss a little more than he did.
Yeah.
And when he broke me in the third set, no, let's go back a little bit. I lost the second set, didn't miss a ball, and then first game of the third, obviously, is when I, like, started, like, messing around with the crowd and, like, trying to get them in it because, like, I knew, like, if something doesn't change, if he just can keep zoning, like, I'm literally not going to win this match. The guy is zoning. So I was like, all right, first game of the third, like, let me just, like, try and get the crowd involved or whatever. And then won that game, and then he holds and breaks me. And then I was like, geez, like, this guy is just feeling it right now. And then on the changeover, I could see why this would piss him off a little bit. But on the changeover, I was like, dude, like, I feel like I should probably just pull out now. Like, you're playing way too good. And he was like, no, like, don't pull out, don't pull out. And, like, he started, like, getting kind of mad at me for saying that. So I was like, oh, like, I'm in his head. Like, I'm in his head. So then, like, I held or broke and then held. And then I felt like the match was completely going my way. And I don't know if you've seen my housing from this week. She's
excited.
She gets very excited.
Yes, she likes wine.
Definitely. She gets very excited. And I remember at 5-3 in the third, I'm serving, and she's on the side, and they had sushi reservations for 7:30. she's like, Tommy, sushi. And I'm like, oh, like, all I'm thinking about is, like, what time is it? Like, we got to go. We got to get sushi, blah, blah. And then end up getting broken. And then he picks up his level again like crazy. And then at 6-5 me in the third, I have the worst game ever, and I wipe out on
yes,
his game
you did.
Point. Like, but, like, not even, like, a wipe out where you, like, slide out and fall. Like, I'm talking, like, a wipe out where, like, my feet just, like, flew out from under me.
Yes.
And, like, I was standing still.
It's already on the ATP Challenger blooper reel.
Yeah,
don't worry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I retweeted it. It looked pretty crazy. And I don't know. Like, I was just trying to do everything I could to win that match because I knew, like, if I keep staying in his head, like, he can't zone for a whole two sets, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it was really, really zoning. And then after the match, he was definitely a little upset at when we shook hands. But I was like, dude, like, you were playing unreal. Like, had to do what I had to do, you know? And then I just felt like I deserved a beer for sure.
Wait, what did he say to you?
He was like, Tommy, like, I like you off court, but you're, like, a real motherfucker on court.
I mean, he's not wrong, though.
Yeah.
I mean, also,
and I was like, I know, man. Like, I had to do what I had to do.
And also, that's a crazy mental battle. I've had that once. William Blumberg did that to me in Stockton last year. When you go up to somebody and you say, like, man, you're just playing too good out here. And it gets with you, like, crazy. I was up 6-0, 4-1, I think, or 3-0 or something. And he said it to me, and it gets inside your head.
It's like the best play when I'm playing Riley in practice. It's you can imagine how much stuff I do like that in practice with Riley. Like, I tell him, like, dude, you're serving unbelievable today. Like, your wide serve on the deuce. Like, I'm just sitting there now. Like, I don't know what to do.
That kind of takes us into the next topic we wanted to talk about. Was, you know, you're obviously really close with guys like Opelka, Fritz. Mm-hmm. How is that, you know, affected you positively or negatively? How close are you guys still? Obviously, I mean, I'm friends with all of you guys, but there are some times when you guys are all three together, it is exhausting. Yeah. It is so much to deal with. And all three of you guys individually are great people, but together it's like a transformer. And it is something else. Like, people, it should be a movie.
Yeah, people don't know.
But
people don't know.
Yeah, so tell us, like, what has that relationship been like? And obviously, you know, you're getting closer to the ranking point. You're about 85 in the world now. Has that, you know, motivated you, inspired you? Come on, tell us.
I think coming out of juniors, like, obviously we were all pretty close in juniors, and coming out of juniors, I feel like we all had pretty different paths coming out of juniors. Mm-hmm. I think Fritz obviously jumped up the rankings the fastest. I think also, like, that the reason for that is because Fritz, right out of juniors, knew what he had to do. and like he did it, you know, like Fritz, like I respect Fritz for that like a lot, because like at a young age he knew what he needed to do and he did it, and he did it like very well. Riley, it took a little bit longer, but like we all knew that Riley was gonna get up the rankings, and he's gonna, I mean, we all know he's gonna continue to climb as long as he keeps doing all the right stuff. And then me, obviously, I took a little bit longer path. I mean, I had a lot of ups and downs my challenger career. It's really felt like a roller coaster. I don't really consider myself completely out of the challengers at all yet. I mean, I definitely might have to play Charlottesville and Champaign or Houston or whatever. It's been really different for all of us, and I think it's cool like when we get together, just because we didn't always play the same tournaments, and when we do, it's a lot of fun for us. And obviously, like you said, when we're all together, it's definitely, I don't want to say it's fun for the people around us, because I don't think it is.
It's not. I can promise you it's not.
but it's fun for us, you know?
I need a dictionary. I need something that I can, like, look up all these words. Like, I mean, every month there's something new. I just understood Zooted for the first time in, like, a year.
God, even I knew that, and I'm, like, 85 years old.
Happy birthday.
No, you got to catch up.
So, on top of it, you've spent some time with Nick Kyrgios, mm-hmm. and Jack Sock as well, and it sounds like Noah's in the midst of a construction zone over there. Jeez. Sorry. No,
the alarm went off.
Yeah, is that the fire alarm?
Yeah, I'm burning down.
Are
right
you
now.
Safe?
I don't know. It's all relative.
Okay. But, Tommy, obviously, what happened with you Friday night, Nick being a personality, Jack being a personality, Riley the same way. You know, some of the quote-unquote old tennis heads don't exactly love that personality, that kind of devil may care on the court.
Yeah.
How do we make it so that it's more acceptable, okay, and make some of the older fans accept the way you guys incorporate personality into tennis?
Wow, that's a good question. How do we get the older heads to accept?
Well, here, I could top off that question. I'm going to disagree with Mike. I don't think we have to. I think we're have. I mean, what Tommy's doing, what, you know, Kyrgios is doing, yeah, sometimes the line is crossed, but we need new tennis fans. We want the 12-year-old kid to be excited, and if that means Kyrgios has to cross out a few shirts that say Djokovic on it, and if that means Tommy has to drink a beer at the end of the match, I think it's great. I think the old guys are going to like tennis no matter what. It's getting the new guys into it and pumped up and, like, actually get some excitement for the sport. Yeah. I think that's important.
No, I agree. I think we the stuff that, I mean, the stupid stuff that all of us are doing, I think it's good for the sport. But at the same time, I think there's always going to be those guys that the old heads can follow. And, like, you know, like, there's always going to be those guys that are super professional and just play tennis and don't really have a personality outside of tennis. Which, like, I mean, I'm not a fan of, but there's always, like, those people that like that, you know, the classic tennis fans that just want to see tennis. But, like, I mean, I think it's good to have a mixture of personalities. Like, if everyone was like me on tour,
yeah,
or everyone was like Bublik on tour, like,
yeah,
no one would like that, you know. Like, everyone wants to see something different, and I don't know. I think it's good that there's new personalities coming into the sport.
What do you want to do to market yourself in that regard, to make sure that people know a little bit more about who Tommy Paul is?
I don't really know yet.
When's the streetwear Tommy Paul line coming out soon, no?
I don't know. I think I need some help with behind the racket. Maybe you can help me out.
We can do something.
But, like, you do have such a unique personality, and I remember thinking back to 2016 when I was doing some of your matches and just knowing your personality, and when I see you flying around the court and having fun, how good you are, right? Mm-hmm. And so how do we make sure that people really have a good understanding of that off the court?
I mean, I think it's just playing more tournaments and getting more exposure on the bigger stages, you know? I mean, if I'm playing a lot of big matches, more people are going to see it. And whether they like it or hate it, I'm going to be there, you know, hopefully.
You know, so you've got this opportunity now. You mentioned it, where you're at in the rankings, and I think Noah's might be in the midst of a fire crisis. And you know, Godspeed to you, Noah. We've enjoyed our time with you.
This is worth my last one. It's okay.
You're at this cool part of in the rankings now, where you start to have some flexibility. You start to have some options. Yeah. How do you make sure you are able to sustain this success, continue this good level that you're at, with along with some pressure of playing in some of these 250s, 500s a little bit more, and make sure you're still having that enjoyable time?
Well, the flexibility in schedule is like the part that I'm most excited about.
Yeah.
One, like, you don't have to worry about, like, oh, am I going to get into this? I mean, I still do, but, like, it's a little bit easier to kind of plan your schedule. And, I mean, I'm not really too worried about, like, playing the 250s or 500s. Like, I really like playing the bigger tournaments on bigger stages. Even when it's challengers, like when you play in Stockton from last year to playing, like, this one, like, I literally feel like my level just raises just, like, having – stands, like, it doesn't matter if there's people, just stands, like, makes me play better. So I'm really excited about that. I'm really excited about making my schedule a little different, probably play less tournaments and take care of my body a lot more.
I mean we don't have too much time, but I just want to know, what does it mean to you to get top 100 in the world? I mean, what does it mean? I mean, we talk about it all the time, and that's what players, you know, shoot for. That's like always the initial goal. What does it feel like?
It definitely feels good. I mean, I won my semifinal match against Kalan in New Haven, and I thought I broke top 100, and I was like real pumped, like really really pumped. And then I saw like live rankings like 102 or something, and I was like, oh my god, like literally thinking that I made it. And then I went out and played Marcos the next day, and that was a match that actually broke me into the top 100, and I definitely felt excited, but I thought I was gonna feel different, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't feel any different, and I was like happy that I reached a goal, but I feel like it wasn't like, it didn't like really like please me, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was really happy, but I want, you know, you just want more.
So I didn't break you into the top 100?
No.
That's good, because it kills me. I broke Francis into the top 100 with Stockton final.
And oh, that it was you in the semi.
And that to this day still haunts me. And yeah, I played you in the semis, and I thought I broke you in. And I can't have two. I can't.
Yeah, it was your match that I thought broke me in.
A brutal sense of relief for Noah Rubin, which is very rare. Last question for you. Mm-hmm. What the hell with you and Nicole Gibbs and the Twitter blocking?
Oh,
and,
no.
What?
I'm gonna leave now.
Oh man.
What the hell?
Oh man. Okay. So basically, you know Nicole Gibbs on Twitter?
Yes, I know Nicole Gibbs on Twitter. I know her off Twitter too.
She definitely likes to like argue on Twitter and likes Twitter beef. So like literally like I literally had nothing to do with like what I was tweeting. Like I didn't care at all. But like I was just tweeting to make her upset. So
you
were trolling. I tweeted to make her upset one time, and she tweeted back at me, like, this was like 4 years ago. She tweeted back at me, whatever, and then I was like, all right, like, she just like roasted me, like I gotta block her. So then I blocked her, and then I don't know, like the whole thing for the US Open wild card happened.
Yeah.
And I guess she'd never noticed that I blocked her. Like, there's no reason for her to look at my Twitter page, really,
right,
you know? But she never noticed it until the U.S. Open wildcard thing happened. I guess, like, when Fritz tweeted at me, like, she, like, clicked on my name, and it wasn't coming up. Like, it said, like, user's been blocked. But then, like, I don't know. I saw somebody screenshotted, like, something that she tweeted, like, oh, like, why did Tommy Paul block me?
Yeah.
So then I went and unblocked her, and I messaged her. I was like, yo, like, a truce. Or she said, like, truce. Like, are we okay now? I was like, yeah, we're all good.
So it's not, there is nothing actually to it.
No, I actually really like her as a person. She's nice.
She's an all right person. It's good to know that you control people a little bit yourself, though, right?
Oh, I mean, no, that's... I'm a big troll.
So is Cation.
Yes, yeah. That's true. Yep. But that's just my appearance. Tommy, certainly do appreciate it. Good luck the rest of the way this weekend. And yeah, it's been a real pleasure. And yeah, hopefully we don't see too many challengers in the near future.
Yeah, I mean, thank you. And hopefully I can get on another one of these.
Yeah, we'll see.
Mike Cation, Tommy Paul, your third title of 2019, fourth that's now currently on the calendar rankings. Congratulations. Crazy match with that wind. How were the both of you making adjustments through that match where it was so directionally north-south?
Yeah, no, I mean, it was definitely a big factor in the match. The first set and a half, because of the wind, I don't think either of us felt like we were playing well at all, really.
Yeah.
I think it just made serving a lot harder.
Yeah.
A lot harder. Like, making your first serves and actually, like, doing something with my first serve was kind of hard for me today.
You served, like, 36% in the first set. I mean, it was really horrible. Tough.
Because, like, if you throw the ball anything, like, above a foot over your head, the wind takes it. So you have to toss really low. And then, like, you're trying to hit good serves with a low toss. Like, the trajectory just doesn't work. I mean, that was the biggest thing for me. And then after about midway through the second, I kind of picked up my level around like 2-1 or 2-all in the second. I don't know what it was. But after he saw me pick up my level, he really picked up his level. He went about two levels above me, I would say. And then I tried to even that out kind of in the breaker just to start the third off. Well, I mean, I wasn't like thinking like, okay, like the third's coming, but like, and I was like, all right, gotta like really even this breaker out just in case we go to a third, to let them know that I'm there for the third set. And then the wind kind of died down in the third. It definitely died down, and we played some really. I feel like we played some really good tennis in the third set. I mean, at least I feel like I played good tennis, and we played good points.
I don't know that you win that match a couple years ago. I don't know that you have the mental capability.
I know that I don't win that match a couple years ago.
But the fact that you got that first win last year, Charlottesville, which has been such a momentous spot for you in years past in a negative way, how much has that changed how you view finals in terms of the mentality?
I mean, there's definitely nowhere that I would have rather gone back and win my first challenger. It was weird because Charlottesville last year was like, I did it very, very different than I usually do. Like, usually I have a lot of friends that go to the school there. Sorry. You know, the beer.
It's okay. The beer gets you.
Yeah, the beer's getting me. I had a lot of friends that go to school there. I don't really know too much of the team anymore, but last year was kind of the first year that I really didn't do anything. Like, I didn't even hang out with my friends, go to dinner with them. I was kind of staying in a hotel that had no other players, and I was just going to the courts. Yeah, like messing around with the courts with everybody. But then, like, once I was done, like, I went back and literally just sat in the room and FaceTimed my girlfriend. Like, it was like the most boring week of my life. But like, I played probably even now, like, I don't know, maybe the best I played in a challenger all week. Like, I played, I don't know if you remember that first round, like Noah, like I like chopped him.
Yeah.
And I hope he reads this or hears this.
But the confidence you have, again, you're just undefeated in the finals this year, with the exception of that one in Tallahassee. What, 3-1?
No, dude, he chopped me.
He did chop you there. I mean, yes,
me.
Emilio got you.
He chopped me because I don't want to say I was sleeping on Emilio, because I wasn't. But like, I thought what had happened was, I thought that I clinched the wild card already.
Yes.
And I really, like, I don't want to say that, like, I didn't show up, but I relaxed a lot. And he played, like, I'm not trying to take any credit away from him, because he played an unbelievable match.
Well, yeah.
He played an unbelievable match.
Yes.
Like, he really did. I don't even think if I showed up, like, maybe I would have put a little bit more pressure on him, but, like, overall, like, he played a great match, and he deserved that title.
But I think what I'm getting at, though, Tommy, is here you are, you're drinking a beer. Mm. You just told another reporter that you've had some wine each night this week, your girlfriend getting to visit.
Yeah.
The point being, the confidence, the belief you have in yourself, it doesn't seem to, the pressure doesn't seem to be getting to you at any point right now.
No, yeah, I mean, I've been getting pretty much messed up every night here this week, but I don't know, like, I think it's just like once you get to the end of the year, like, everyone copes with it different ways. Yeah. Like, some people want to get more professional and do more stuff in the gym. But, like, for me, like, that would just wear me out. I mean, I'm still going to the gym. I'm still doing all the stuff that I need to. But luckily, I had last match of the day every single day this week. So, like, I was, like, I don't know. I mean, the housing, I was having a lot of fun every night. And waking up, and once I wake up, obviously, I'm not, like, feeling fantastic when I wake up. But then if I go do the right things, like, for 2 hours before my match and then get ready, I don't see why not.
How do you structure the rest of the year now that you have, I asked you this 2 days ago, now that you've got this title in the books, you've essentially defended Charlottesville for yourself. How do you set the schedule for the rest of the year after you celebrate with another couple of beers tonight?
Yeah, more than a couple. But I don't know. I'm that's something that I have to have a conversation with my coach about and my trainer, see how my body's holding up and everything. I mean, I've been feeling my shoulder a little bit, the back of my shoulder a little bit this week. I don't think it's anything at all, really. I think it's just, like, tight, and playing in cold weather gets my shoulder a little, I don't know, I feel it a little bit more. But I don't know. We'll see. I'm definitely going to play Stockholm and Vienna. Actually, pretty funny, because I don't know if I'm going to – I think I would have gotten in main draw of Stockholm. We don't know yet, but if I signed up for main draw, so – probably just gonna play qualies there and qualies in Vienna, and then if I get into Paris, that'd be great too, but cut's not looking in my favor right now. And then if I really, like, feel like it, if I really don't feel like burnout, I mean, I want to stop the year early and take a lot of time off.
Yeah.
But if I really feel like it and I feel like momentum's going my way and I'm playing really well, maybe I'll show up to Charlottesville. Maybe I'll play that one.
I doubt it. Which is better, the beer out of the pitcher when you beat Gonzalo Escobar, or the beer right now after winning a title?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, this one was pretty good.
Yeah.
This one was pretty good. They're both IPAs, actually. Yeah. Very surprised when I took the first sip. I was thinking, like, all right, like, Budweiser coming my way, you know? Yeah. And then, boom, IPA. Like,
it's not Budweiser country.
7% alcohol coming your way, you know?
Tommy, congratulations.
Thank you, thank you.
And that's going to do it for another edition of the Coffee Cast with Cation and Ruben, powered by Behind the Racket. A big thank you once again to our sponsor, New Balance. Visit them at newbalance.com. For Noah, Mike Cation signing off. You've been listening to the Coffee Cast with Cation and Ruben, powered by Behind the Racket.